Back into Galatians, and I am again so grateful to God for the trip that He had given me. So appropriate that we're in Galatians, thanking the Lord so much that we know that we are His workmanship, thanking the Lord so much that we are in this precious portion of Scripture. The glorious gospel of grace given to Brother Paul. And as much as I missed my bed, as much as I missed a lot of different things, as I come up here to the pulpit tonight, this is the thing I miss the most, was sharing the Word of God with you. And I'm thankful to the Lord for it. But we finished up in that first chapter a couple weeks back. And in that chapter, so many things grip the heart, but just a few that I want to emphasize. It assures us that this gospel that we rejoice in, this gospel that, praise God, we live by grace, this gospel of grace, came through no man, came by no man, but only by Jesus Christ revealing it to Paul. That in this glorious gospel, we realize that we are saved by grace through faith. And furthermore, it is grace that continues us on in Christ. And it is grace that reveals the Son of God in us, which pleases the Father. And I am just overwhelmed as I come here tonight. I marveled as I was driving through that countryside of the beauty of the simplicity of what pleases God. Faith. Let me tell you, I saw so much architecture. So many works by the hands of man. Absolutely amazing. The artistry in Italy and different places there that I was able to see. And I know that there might have been some that built those things to have the applause of men or the appreciation of God or a lot of different things. It pleases God to reveal His Son in us. That's the simplicity of the gospel of Christ. And I am so thankful that we are His workmanship. I'm thankful that we stand here tonight. We're temples of God. Praise the Lord. He lives in us. And praise the Lord. He dwells in us. And I'm thankful to God that this is the temple of the Lord. But in that, brothers and sisters, we can entirely depend upon the grace of God for everything in our lives. You think about this grace and what we touched upon again the past weeks in chapter 1. It grows us up, it enlightens us, it illuminates us, it gives us an inheritance. And praise be to God, anything we are or ever hope to be, it's all by the grace of God. Thank you, Jesus. I am just, again, overwhelmed to think of the simplicity that is in Christ. That we are so beyond comprehension supplied, provided with. Everything has been given to us to grow completely into all the complete and the perfect will of God. I marvel at it. I just think how absolutely complete our God is. And how complete not just He was in ages past, not and just today, but on forever. And praise the Lord how the beauty of His love for us continues to be revealed to our lives. But as we get into this, let's go ahead and pick it up in this second chapter. And we'll go ahead and we'll read the first 14 verses together. Then 14 years after I went up again to Jerusalem with Barnabas and took Titus with me also, I went up by revelation and communicated unto them that gospel which I preach among the Gentiles. But privately to them, which were of reputation, lest by any means I should run or had run in vain. But neither Titus, who was with me, being a Greek, was compelled to be circumcised. And that because of false brethren, unawares, brought in, who came in privately, to spy out our liberty, which we have in Christ Jesus, that they might bring us into bondage. To whom we gave place by subjection, no, not for an hour, that the truth of the gospel might continue with you. But of these who seem to be somewhat, whatsoever they were, it maketh no matter to me. God accepts no man's person. For they who seemed to be somewhat in conference added nothing to me. But contrariwise, when they saw that the gospel of the uncircumcision was committed unto me, as the gospel of the circumcision was unto Peter, for he that wrought effectually in Peter to the apostleship of the circumcision, the same was mighty in me toward the Gentiles. And when James, Cephas, and John, who seemed to be pillars, perceived the grace that was given unto me, they gave to me and Barnabas the right hand of fellowship, that we should go unto the heathen, and they unto the circumcision. Only they would that we should remember the poor, the same which I also was forward to do. But when Peter was come to Antioch, I withstood him to the face, because he was to be blamed. For before that certain came from James, he did eat with the Gentiles. But when they were come, he withdrew and separated himself, fearing them which were of the circumcision. And the other Jews disassembled likewise with him, insomuch that Barnabas also was carried away with their dissimulation. But when I saw that they walked not uprightly, according to the truth of the gospel, I said unto Peter before them all, If thou, being a Jew, livest after the manner of Gentiles, and not as do the Jews, why compellest thou the Gentiles to live as do the Jews? Now, brothers and sisters, this is quite a passage of Scripture here that God is dealing with us even yet today. Mentioned it many times earlier already, that we are His workmanship. I think about how it starts out here, that God so protected Paul. It was 14 years before Paul was led to visit the kingdom apostles from when he visited Jerusalem the first time. Now you think about this, that sure it was to establish the doctrine of the grace of God in Paul, to have him witness, and God had him go in specific places. But there also needed to be a testimony that was in place, that needed to be perceived and to grow, and then to be received by these apostles whom he would now go and greet with this glorious gospel. And notice as he goes here at this time, he takes with him Barnabas and Titus. And as the word of God always is, names mean things. And in this case, names really mean things. The name Barnabas means the son of prophecy, and the name Titus means a nurse. And if you think about those two together, the prophecy came, and there was the attending nurse, again, so fitting that these brothers were there to help with the furtherance of the gospel of the grace of God. Now, notice here in the second verse, it says it was by revelation that he went up unto them. Now, we saw that back in the first chapter where it said that it was by revelation of Jesus Christ that Paul was taught this precious gospel. And I'm telling you, by this revelation that he goes up to them, this is very precious to my heart, especially in this day and this age of the missionary meals, sending people out in hordes. Oftentimes, they don't even have a message. But I'm telling you, sometimes even when they have a message, they're going out often in their own strength and in their own calling. But I thank God for Brother Paul and his life. He was transformed to wait upon the revelation of Jesus Christ. And he goes to them, and he preaches unto them, and he preaches to them privately. It's not publicly, brothers and sisters. It says it's privately. This was no evangelistic journey. This was a Bible study. And I thank God how we have this Bible study. He had this Bible study with these precious brothers in an intimate setting. It wasn't something that was going to be blown up or something that it was going to be something that was going to be an attraction for men. This was God dealing with the hearts of these men to accept and receive the glorious gospel of the grace of God. And I'm thankful to the Lord. We preach the word here. I'm thankful to God that we don't do it in a fanfare. We don't try to attract you with all these different types of sizzling entertainment or these smoke and mirrors or all of these different things that can be used. I do rejoice however Christ is preached, but I am thankful to God for the sincerity of the gospel of Christ, brothers and sisters, that God in his grace allows us to rejoice in. It's called the sincerity of the gospel of Christ, that we come together and intimately God takes each one of us, even though we're here tonight as a body, God is dealing with each and every life here tonight to receive more of my grace, to receive more grace, to believe more of the word of God, to receive the deep things of God, and to grow up into Jesus Christ in all things. It's mighty. I'm thankful for it. And I'm thankful to God that it is. It's an intimate thing that Jesus Christ always does with us when he comes and he sups and gives us his wondrous word. But there is no pretense here in this as well either. See, Titus was not going to be circumcised to appease the Jews. I look at this brother as a sweet little poster boy. That there was neither Jew nor Greek, there was neither bond nor free, there was neither male nor female. The grace of God is exactly what it is. It's grace. It's free. It's for everyone. There's no respecter of persons. It's all undeserved. It's all the work of grace through faith, and there's nothing about the work of the flesh in grace. There's nothing about trying to keep the law in grace. And specifically, it was these false brethren that came in here. And I'm telling you what, brothers and sisters, these same false brethren are about us today. And we have to understand that. This wasn't just for a time long ago. This is happening now. And the counterfeits and all of these different ones that are trying to inhibit and bind and rob God's precious people, they're about us today. I want to take for a moment and go over to Acts chapter 15. We'll just touch on this, but I encourage you to read this little chapter. It's sweet. It talks about this council. See, all these ones came to Jerusalem at this time. This is the first, and by the way, the only time that all of these worthies of faith, in a sense, at this time, got together to have this conference. And it's a precious time that they did this, and this Acts chapter 15 kind of goes through it. But I want to talk about these false brethren specifically, and I want to read from the fifth verse. It says in Acts 15:5, there rose up certain of the sect of Pharisees which believed. Now listen to that. Which believed. All right? That it was needful to circumcise them and to command them to keep the law of Moses. Now get this. And the apostles and the elders came together for to consider of this matter. Now, we're going to read in a moment that there was one that didn't come together to consider anything about the nonsense that these ones want to consider about. He wasn't going to give time to that. See, we live in a day and age, brothers and sisters, of such political correctness, and that we have to walk so quietly that we can't step on each other's toes. We have to watch what we say. God help us. God help us. It's confining. It's restricting. My goodness, I pray that we preach the word of God with boldness, that we are not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Is it the word of God or not? What does it mean to us? Now, I'm not talking about standing upon a soapbox and making people feel uncomfortable, but I'm talking about when he gives you opportunity to preach the word of God, you preach it. When you have opportunity to give a man an answer that's asked a question, please don't hesitate. Don't be ashamed of who you are in Christ. It's wonderful. And if you're persecuted for it, praise be to God. Hallelujah. I heard all about these different martyrs and all these different stories as I was going through, and I just said, oh my goodness, Lord, it's the gospel of Christ. And I'm thankful again that we know these things. But brothers and sisters, let us know that this is something that we're in a battle against. And I really want us to understand that as we study this over the next few weeks, We must come to terms with that even Peter himself was acting as these false ones when he too was encouraging the Gentiles who were receiving the truth of saved by grace to now withdraw from it and practice these works that these Jews were practicing. Brothers and sisters, we must understand that flesh and self-works, they will only hinder us. They'll only bind us. They'll only impair our ability to run to win Christ. It says very clearly in 2 Peter 3:18, we grow in grace. Amen? And in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who happens to be grace. So I'm thankful that we have a double portion even in that message. And I'm thankful to God that the vessel who was used to say that at that time was Peter. Peter was testifying of the grace of God. I'm thankful that there was much growth in it. Brother Copley notes that when one becomes mature in the grace of God and grows up in it, this falling back, in a sense, into the rudiment elements doesn't occur. I appreciate that statement, and I understand what he's saying, but I'll always use the Word of God to make sure we know, but for the grace of God, there go I. Amen. I had someone quote that to me recently. Said, well, see, when you're really established in the grace of God, you won't ever go, you know, that way. Let me tell you something. Don't you ever say that. Don't. But for the grace of God. Grace is what holds us. Grace is what makes us. Grace is what takes us on. Grace is sustaining. And praise the Lord, grace has allowed me to achieve to see grace and to rejoice in grace. Keeps us in it. But I thank God, and I want to be bold in understanding that we are His workmanship. He doesn't bring us all this way again by Him and then somehow, some way at a moment, I'm holding something or keeping something. It's all by Him. Now, have you ever seen a marathoner run? Have you ever seen one run with a leg cramp? Have you ever seen them kind of get a little bit weary? I have. And those are tough pictures to see. And they're running along, limping, and all of these different things. It's not a pretty sight. And I will tell you something. There's not a lot of joy in that run. But that's exactly what happens when we get impaired or hindered with works. And it's very true. Brothers and sisters, the joyful runner, there's many different ways that the Bible talks about it. Runs with enlarged strides, with hind feet, legs of grace that even bound over walls. I'm thankful for that. I'm grateful to God for that. I give Him all the praise and glory for it. I believe we're getting a glimpse how easy it is for grace, not for us, don't get me wrong, but for grace to take us over any obstacle. I'm finding more and more how powerful grace is. And I smile when I say this because the sins, in a sense, that would rain upon my life in that deception, how God so sweetly is freeing my life with grace. And how I'm understanding more and more that in my own strength to try to overcome or to put anything aside, not one step can be taken down that race course in that. It must be His doing. It must be by His might. It must be by His Spirit. And praise the Lord, when that happens, that's grace. I won't submit myself to the lusts of the flesh in that regards because grace sustains me. Thankful to God how that works. I'm thankful to God that we're waking up to this. But let's get back to it. Galatians 2:5 now. Let's go to that fifth verse. It says, to whom we gave place by subjection, no, not for an hour, that the truth of the gospel might continue with you. See, I mentioned it a little bit, But it's a big thing here, and this is a chapter that is full of wisdom in living our Christian lives. I appreciate Brother James, how he will often comment, wise as serpents. And we do need wisdom, brothers and sisters. And it talks about even abounding in love and in our faith by God's grace, abounding in the wisdom of it. And we need to understand that we need the mind of Christ in everything. But Paul in this gives no opportunity, not even for a moment, for this nonsense. Withdraw yourself from it. When people start to want to get mental about the Word of God, let's come in here and try to reason, not in a sense with the mind of Christ, but reasoning in my own mind and trying to approach the Scripture this way. And I'm just telling you, it's happened time and time again, and I've seen it. It just takes people away from the truth of the gospel of Christ. And it does. We can't approach it with this. You approach it by faith. The Word of God, He spoke that. See, if I don't, when I start talking to people about the things of Christ, many times, we'll just start this way. Do you believe that this is the divine word of God? Do you? If you do, we can continue on the conversation. If you don't, I don't want to waste your time. And I will say this, I certainly don't want to waste mine. I'm seeing how short time we really have. I want to fellowship in the gospel of Christ. I'm thankful to that. It's a joy unspeakable and full of glory to my life to know that we're redeeming the time. We're making it count. We're not wasting time talking about nonsense. And we can get into nonsense in so many different ways. We can get into rumors and backbiting and all of this different types of things. But in this specific case here, it was, well, let's try to analyze the Word of God. You don't analyze the Word of God. You believe the Word of God. You do. You study to show yourself approved, but in that studying, you understand it's the Spirit that gives you that mind and that heart to accept the Word of God and rejoice in the Word of God. And you're not reading it as a book or as a story. This is your life. This is who came to live in you. This is the power of God. This is Jesus Christ, the Word of life. Huh? Amen. It'll come alive in that. That's the Spirit. That's not just me getting excited about it. It's exactly what that life is. It's the quickening power. And that's what God has given us. Hallelujah that we can worship Him like that. We don't have to go in there with vain babblings and things in our hands and this type of thing to look at to make me think of this and that. My goodness. I just say in Jesus' name. And you know what appears? The throne room. Can you see it? I do. Amen, I do. Praise be to God, because I know it's there. Faith sees it. Hallelujah. But see, again, he doesn't try to be polite with these ones. He doesn't try to be politically correct. He's not trying to be rude either, but he knows the truth. And he knows that they're just trying to promote counterfeits, things that are going to waste time. And he doesn't want to even give any moment to that. He believes that God chose him. Do you believe that God chose you? I hope you know that. If you don't, it's a sad thing because God told you he has. He's called you out. And in that, he has complete confidence in the ability that God will give to him. And he wants the truth of the gospel to continue. But brothers and sisters, as Paul is showing us here, we need to cut off error immediately. Immediately. You don't give any time to it. It'll only get in there and cause dissension. It'll cause division. We'll talk about Peter, poor fella here. Probably not tonight, but if the Lord tarry, all the things that happened to him in turning from the grace of God, not standing for it. Giving utterance and time for nonsense, giving ear to this fleshly works will always hinder our walk. The Word of God says to tend upon the things of the Lord without distraction. Amen? Amen. We're in good standing, praise God. It's the Word of God that keeps us in good standing. And that's by His grace what will follow. Now, let's go ahead and read the sixth verse again. But of these who seem to be somewhat, Whatsoever they were, it maketh no matter to me. God accepts no man's person. What don't you get about that, huh? God accepts no man's person. That's a good one to remember. For they who seemed to be somewhat in conference added nothing to me. Paul was pretty bold. Praise the Lord. He knew he didn't have much time. And he loved the Lord. And he's going to let the Spirit speak what the Spirit was going to speak. But how wonderful that God accepts no man's persons. And brothers and sisters, we need to get it right now. We need to get our thoughts of us out of it. And let's put it this way. We need to get our thoughts of you, my thought of me, out of it. No matter how romantic or wonderful they are, God only, listen, God only accepts his son. The word goes on to tell us, know no man after the flesh. What do you think? See, when we start to try to know some man or one man or any man after the flesh, what finally happens in that? Great disappointment. We start looking down here instead of up there. Look up. Now I can see Christ in you. Praise the Lord. I'm thankful to that. And I want you to see Christ in me. I want to be a vessel that magnifies Jesus Christ in the grace of God. That's what, by his grace, we want. And God tells us and encourages us that it's his son. Christ in you is the hope of glory. And brothers and sisters, by the grace of God, I'm going to preach that. That it is about Christ in you. Sometimes people can think that be a little bit harsh. I'm not going to kowtow to people. I'm not going to try to pat you on the head and say, well, this is, you're okay and you're fine and you're lovely and go tell, look in the mirror and see how. My goodness, if you don't see how beautiful Christ in you is, I feel sorry for you. I do. That's the only beauty you got. Amen? Praise the Lord. I thank God as I'm getting a little older. Man, I'm certainly not as good looking as I was. Isn't it amazing? Huh? I'm serious. Isn't it beautiful about Christ how he does that? He's allowed us to age. Allowed us a lot of different things. But is he growing up in you, and is that what's becoming more and more beautiful? Amen. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. He speaks to us. We just got to listen. Got to pay attention. He's right there. But brothers and sisters, it's about him growing up in us. That's as simple as it gets, and that's as mighty as it is. And I love it too in this sixth verse how it says, they who seem to be something were nothing. I like that. I saw that a lot on this last trip in a lot of ways. I really did. I saw a little guy getting up by a window and vain babbling, thousands of people around him, and those types had nothing unto you. What did he just say? Well, some people think they're something when they're nothing. Now, brothers and sisters, that goes for us too. I hope we understand that. I hope that I understand very clearly that it's Christ in me. Amen. That's the value. That's the treasure in the vessel. That's what makes us worth anything, is the precious Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. But brothers and sisters, I do want to go on to say this. It wasn't Paul that added unto them. It was the grace of God that was with Paul. And that's so beautiful, isn't it? And I'm grateful that the Holy Spirit touched Brother Paul's life so sweetly. And as God told him so firmly and confirmed it to him in love, as Paul was seeking him three times about his thorn in the flesh, he said, well, Paul, if I lift that from you, you're going to be magnified. You're going to be exalted. And I just think how glorious that is. Thank you, Lord. That God knows what we need. God knows every infirmity that we need. And we need to settle down and to understand that he's done that in love. Okay? Do you really believe that? I pray you do. Because again, I go back to that simplicity of you're his workmanship. And God, he knows how to get us on our knees. He knows how to get our attention. He knows what it's going to take for each one of our lives to want fellowship with him. And he does it in numerous ways. I was thinking sometimes he might take your job from you. What do you think? And think, well, that's harsh. Well, where were you spiritually when you had that job? Have you been calling him out to him a little bit that way? I don't know. But I do know this. He'll perfect that which concerns you. Do you believe that? Do you believe he knows your thought afar off? Do you believe that he knows your downsetting and your uprising? Do you really believe all that? Do you believe he is that perfect of a God? That he cares for you that much? That he knows every hair on your head? I do believe that because the Bible tells me so. And it's so beautiful when we settle down into that, that the intimacy of the relationship that we have with Jesus Christ. That we do. He walks with me and he talks with me. He encourages my heart. And when he talks about praying always, I understand that's not out of duty. That's just out of who we are. His life lives in here. And this life, by his grace, is communicating constantly with the Father. And I'm thankful to that, that, you know, Jesus, you're allowing me to see the beauty of what Christ in me is. It's amazing. It's a peace that passes all understanding, isn't it? How he holds us and keeps us. You think about the worry in this world right now. Shoot, we might not have a budget tomorrow or Friday or monies or whatever it may be. I'm thankful to God I don't worry about those things. And I pray to God you don't worry about those things because he doesn't want you to concern with that. He will take care of you. Amen. We need to pray for our president. We need to pray for our leaders because God tells us to. I pray that they just yield to God. I'm sure that that's the intention of it. Is Lord, somehow, some way, let them think of you. But I understand that also at this time, the evil of man's waxing worse and worse. So there's a lot at play here. But at the same time, I understand it's all building up for the manifestation of the sons of God. He's getting ready to show forth his workmanship. And if you really get into that, his masterpiece. Praise the Lord. I got to see one of Michelangelo's masterpieces, the David. And it was so incredible. I sat there for at least an hour. And then they had to throw me out because you can only stand there so long. So other people have to get in there. And there's other things in that art museum, I guess. I never saw them. But I saw that David. I saw from every angle and looking at it. And I'm just telling you, you'd almost think that it was just going to start walking. You're just ready for him to start taking a step. And then all I could think about was, praise the Lord, I never knew this. But over his shoulders the sling, and in his hands is a stone. And I thought, thank you, Jesus, that really means something to me. But as marvelous as that work of art is, it's not even worthy to be compared with what's going on right now in the sons of God. And the value that's set to that, and how a whole building was built to, you know, encase that. Now they have the monitors, the safety nets, and the different types of laser beams all around it. And I'm safely in the hand of God. Man, was I having a good time. Praise his name. Now, it wasn't Paul, as I said. It was the grace of God that was with Paul. It was the message of the glorious gospel. And kind of excited about some of the things to share with you. And I understand sometimes you can't share them all at one time. We'd be here a little bit long. But one of the sweet things that the Lord wanted me to bring out a little bit tonight, since we're talking about Peter and Paul kind of in the same thing, was I never knew of the affection. I mean, how much affection there was for Peter. I mean, I'd kind of heard, you know, stories and different things. But every single cathedral we'd see, you know, there's Peter holding them keys. And so we went out because there was one I wanted to see. I wanted to see Paul's cathedral. And so they took me out to see Paul's cathedral. So here we go again. And there's Peter. So my guy that's been taking me around for a long time, I said, now come on. We came out here to Paul's cathedral, and you got to tell me that Peter's here. And he took me aside, and he says, now let me tell you something. He was a cute guy. But he said, you know, Paul's a great guy, but, you know, Peter's the man. Peter's the guy. And it was very sweet because at that moment, the Lord really gave an opening for me to testify to this man about the truth. And there was a real passion in this fellow, but he was giving so much credence to man and the works of man in a lot of different ways. And all I was encouraged to say was, because he was professing things about Jesus Christ and about him as his Savior, I said, what about that zeal in you? I said, is it worth something? Oh, I could never be this. I could never be that. I said, no, wait a second. I said, what is it about? Isn't it about Christ in you? He said, well, sure it is, but I couldn't be that or this. I said, you shouldn't belittle the work of the Lord in your life. This big smile got on his face. I said, it's called the grace of God. And it was so neat because the day before yesterday, I got home, and that man, I'd exchanged emails with him a couple times. And I didn't tell him about being a pastor. And at the very end of the tour, and we were with him about 8 hours, my wife hands him a card. And it's the Living Waters Tabernacle card. And he grabs it. He looks at it, and he looks at me, and he shakes his head. He puts it in his pocket. But he titled the little letter to me, Blessed Pastor. So you never know. And his name is Marco, and I ask you to pray for him. Because there's, like I said, there's something going on there. He had a real passion. But obviously it needed some direction. But I know that there's a God that can give him every bit of direction, even in that place. Amen. But we know that the vessel whom was chosen as the apostle for the church, the vessel that was for the Gentiles, was Paul. We know that it wasn't Peter. But in all reality, neither of them is the man, because there is but one man. Praise God. And that's our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And the message that Paul had was the revelation of Jesus Christ. And Paul, I appreciate it so, and kind of touched on it earlier, but in 1 Corinthians 15:10, he says, even though all the labor that I did, all the faithfulness that God put in my life, all the love, it wasn't of me, it was the grace of God that was with me. The same grace of God that's with you. Isn't that wonderful, the power of his might? That's his grace. That's what it is. And that's what protects you. That is the forever faithfulness of God, is his grace. That's the enabling power. It's the quickening spirit. Like I said, we really do have it made. We got it all. Blessed with all the spiritual blessings in the heavens in Christ. He didn't leave out a thing. No wonder we can smile so. Praise his name. Let's go ahead and read out 7 through 10. But contrariwise, when they saw the gospel of the uncircumcision was committed unto me, as the gospel of the circumcision was unto Peter. Isn't that funny? I mean, it's funny to me, especially for where I was. But it says the gospel that was given unto the gospel of the circumcision was unto Peter. Took everything I had to say, and I'm going to tell Marco one. I'm going to send him a little note. And I said, I didn't realize how many Jews were in the Catholic Church. I just had to go there. See, Paul was being a little ornery here. I thought, well, maybe. So, but it says here, but contrariwise, when they saw the gospel of the uncircumcision was committed unto me as the gospel of the circumcision was unto Peter. For he that wrought effectually in Peter to the apostleship of the circumcision, the same was mighty in me toward the Gentiles. And when James and Cephas and John, who seemed to be pillars, isn't that amazing what the grace of God can do in your life? You can seem to be so in a lot of things, but when the grace of God hits you, you realize you're nothing. Isn't that something? Isn't that beautiful? I love that. I just think it's so wonderful that the grace of God convicted these brothers. You know, there can be a lot of bickering. There can be a lot of envying. He said, well, who are you, Paul? But the grace of God touched these brethren. The grace of God brought peace. Remember, grace and peace. Amen? See, when we receive grace, we have peace. We don't envy. We understand that God's got to work here. But who seemed to be pillars perceived the grace that was given unto me. See, that what it was. They perceived that grace. They gave to me and Barnabas the right hands of fellowship, that we should go unto the heathen and they unto the circumcision. Only they would that we should remember the poor, the same which I also was forward to do. So, it's precious what the love of God can do. And it's precious that that the life of Christ in us and yielding to God, we can perceive a special grace, just as these brothers, we can perceive the special grace that was given to Paul. Aren't you thankful that you see that? Aren't you thankful in the simplicity where it says, follow me as I follow Christ? It hit you? That you stand and take note and say, Lord, I believe. And Lord, I receive. Isn't that awesome? Do you know how many people don't see that? You know how many people that wrestle with that? Why me? The grace of God. Isn't it wonderful? Oh, I'm thankful for this. But that's what's mighty here, brothers and sisters, that in that grace they received the faith and immediately gave him the right hand of fellowship. There wasn't any envying here. There wasn't contention. And there's many that have this kind of contention when God appoints a man for a purpose. But God's always done it that way. He has a vessel that he is going to use to do these things. Brother Copley noted this. He said, God always does it that way. He has a vessel that he prepares and that he has anointed to do this. And what a blessing it is when we yield to God and his will. Amen. And see, this was God and his will, is this message. And praise his name that there was a boldness first and foremost in Brother Paul. And I understand that that was the power of his might. That was the Holy Spirit that enabled that boldness. But he wasn't sheepish. He didn't let the thoughts of man and the customs and how the things were supposed to be approached, that was out the window. We were talking about the Word of God. The divine will of the Father. The ultimate, the high calling of God in Christ Jesus, that gospel has been given unto me. Now, he said, and not unto me only, but unto all them that love his appearing. Well, I'm here with a bunch that I believe love his appearing. So in that, brothers and sisters, I say, stand. And withstand. And having done all, stand. Praise his name. It's a mighty time. This is exciting. We're living this. This is Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. And this calling is is upon us. This yearning by God's grace, the Holy Spirit is here to give it to us. This is important. We cannot be caught up in the affairs of this life. This wasn't only meant for Paul. It's for us. Do you want to win him? I believe you do. Amen. Because that's the will of the Father. It's not the will of Jesse. But I'll tell you one thing, it sure is the will of Christ in me. Because Jesse would have had nothing to do with it. Jesse would turn from it and run. Jesse would say, no, that's a little too out there, and I'm going to go where it's safe, comfortable. It's never been so bright in this church to me. I don't really know why, but I mean, it's bright where I can almost open my eyes tonight. Maybe it's a little bit like that road to Damascus. He's continuing to show us things, brothers and sisters, and we need to pay attention. We don't, in a sense, know it all. He's continuing to reveal it to us, isn't he? That room is endless. The treasure goes on and on and on. And in the ages to come, the exceeding riches of his grace. Let's stand and be dismissed.